Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning. It's Resurrection Weekend, and I am so glad you chose to join us on this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. We're continuing the message preached by my father, the late Dr. J. Harold Lohman, titled The Peerless Person, and featuring music by Greater Vision and the God's Bible School Choir and Orchestra. And I hope you enjoy all of what we have to offer you today on this day of celebration, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I do covet your prayers as I'm enjoying this weekend at home with my wife as we attend our church on this Easter Sunday weekend. And then in the month of April, traveling to Thomasville, North Carolina, April 5 to 7. If you listen to us on WPET, Truth Network, I hope you'll join us. We're going to be at Holly Hill Wesleyan Church, April 5 to 7. Thomasville, North Carolina. Then April 12 to 14, Sunman, Indiana, at the First Southern Baptist Church. And then April 21 to 24, Portsmouth, Ohio, at the Church of Christ and Christian Union. So pray for us. It would mean so much. As we've noted, during the month of March, it is a five-weekend month, and we need for you to help us stay on your radio station. We are a faith-based, listener-supported program. That's the way it's always been since Dad started the program in 1937. And so we depend upon our listening audience to keep us on the air week after week. And the Lord has always provided through folks like you. Thank you so much for considering that and praying about it. And remember to pray for us. Heavenly Father, I want to lift my listening audience to you today and ask that you would touch them, be with them, as they hopefully will gather at a church and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray for that person that might be listening to my voice that can't get to church. May the program be a blessing to them. For that person that might be listening who does not know the wonderful saving grace of Jesus Christ, provided through the cross and through his resurrection, I pray that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus today. I pray that you would continue to use this ministry as you have across the years to reach the lost and the undone, to encourage the Christian. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, don't forget to write to me. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or pay tabs there. Thanks so much.
Thank you for the prize you what history says about this peerless person. He was born contrary to the laws of nature. He did not travel extensively, and only once did he cross the boundary line of the little country in which he was born, and that was during his exile in childhood. But in infancy, he startled a king. In childhood, he puzzled the doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature. He walked upon the billows as if they were pavements, and he hushed the sea to sleep. He never wrote a book, and yet all the libraries in the country could not contain the books written about him. He never founded a college, yet all the colleges and universities together never had as many students. He never commanded an army, yet all the armies of the world never had as many volunteers. This man, Jesus, is reconciler, harmonizer, healer, and savior. And though time is spread over 1900 years, this man Jesus still lives. Herod could not seduce him. Satan could not deceive him. Death could not destroy him. And the grave could not hold him. One day he left the glories of heaven for the abuses of men. From the crown in its glory to the cross in its curse. From riches to poverty, from a son to a servant, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and became the Son of Man, that you and I might become the sons of God. He was rich, but for our sakes he became poor. You say, how poor was he? He didn't own the cradle in which he slept, nor the beast on which he rode, nor the boat in which he cruised, nor the grave in which he was buried. He slept in another man's cradle, rode on another man's beast, and cruised in another man's boat, and was buried in another man's mausoleum. When he died, the world rushed in, took an inventory of what he possessed, and all they found were the clothes that he wore by day and slept in by night. The book says the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. But I repeat, he was rich, but for our sakes he became poor and became the Son of Man, that you and I might become the sons of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the peerless person. But look, if you will, at what the philosopher had to say about this man Jesus. To the architect, he's the chief cornerstone. To the artist, he's the one altogether lovely. To the astronomer, he's the bright and morning star. To the baker, he's the living bread. To the banker, he's the unsearchable riches. To the bride, he's the bridegroom. To the farmer, he's the Lord of harvest. To the florist, he's the rose of Sharon. To the geologist, he's the rock of ages. To the jeweler, he's the precious stone. To the sailor, he's the anchor of the soul. To the student, he is the truth. And to the sinner, he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And he is the one, beloved, that appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And he is the peerless person, the wonderful, the counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright in the Morning Star, the one altogether lovely, and the fairest of 10,000 of my soul. And blessed be God, he's my coming king this morning. The peerless person, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. But this text not only speaks of the peerless person, but it talks about the paramount purpose. Why did he come? He came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You see, beloved, he didn't come into this world to heal the sick. He didn't come to open blinded eyes and unstop deaf ears and cause the lame man to leap as an hart. He didn't come to raise the dead. These things that he did of that nature while he was here on this earth were things that it was necessary for him to do to prove to men that he was the promised and looked for Messiah. But that wasn't his primary purpose, ladies and gentlemen. Primary purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ and the peculiar prerogative of his coming was to deal with that thing that breaks hearts. that destroys families, that throws children on the mercy of the world. He came to deal with that thing, Miss Kind Lady, that gnaws away at your inner being, that keeps you from having peace and rest and assurance and tranquility and serenity of soul, that thing we call sin. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, mark it well, sin is still a present reality. I believe I can say without fear of contradiction that we've never seen as much widespread sin and licentious revelry as we're seeing today. And the tragedy is, it's still having its effect upon a lot of people that are identified with the church. You see, it was sin that caused Peter to tell a lie. Now that may shock you, but when the master pressed him one day and in essence said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, I'll go with you to prison and even unto death. And Jesus could look at the secrets of his heart, and he said, Peter, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And ladies and gentlemen, I ask you, have you ever considered where Peter was when the shadows of Calvary were hanging over the master's head? Where was he? He was out there warming his hands with the enemy's fire. Peter was at the same place that day that a lot of professed Christians are when they ought to be in the thick of the battle. And somebody pressed him and said to Peter, aren't you one of his? He said, I don't know him. Somebody else pressed him and said, don't you belong to him? I don't know him. And a little damsel pressed him and said, aren't you one of his? And the book says he swore that he didn't know him. And ladies and gentlemen, the cock crew. Now that's one of the things that he appeared to deal with. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're aware that there's something still existent in your heart this morning that condemns you, he came to put that away, to set you free. You see, it was sin that caused Ananias and Sapphira to be cheaters. It was sin that caused Demas to forsake him, because the book says, having loved this present world, Demas hath forsaken me. And I say this with all the love that could be in a preacher's heart, with all of your social activities and with all of your clubs and all of your lodges and all of your affiliation with the secular world, when that takes first place in your heart above the activity of the building of the kingdom and the enlargement of the Christian community, you're warming your hands at the enemy's fire. I've been in revivals, beloved, when people put their club first and their lodge first and their secular activities first and warm their hands with the secular fires when the battle was on at the prayer meeting and at Sunday night meeting and enduring revival. He came to deal with that. And when you let him deal with it, there will be a change that will take place. And you'll not only know the change has been activated, but somebody else will know it's taken place. The paramount purpose, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. But this text not only speaks of the peerless person and the paramount purpose, but it speaks of the painful pathway by the sacrifice of himself. Now he was divine, yet he was human. And he had feelings in the flesh just like you and I have feelings, to the point that he could be hurt physically, to the point of pain. And have you ever stopped to realize how much he must have suffered that day when they drove those nails in his hands? Have you ever given any consideration, kind lady, dear man, of how much he must have suffered when they pressed that unfitted crown of thorns on his brow? And when they beat him? And when he hung there? And the scorching sun parching his lips until he became so thirsty and they put the gall of the vinegar to his mouth? You imagine you would suffer if they drove some nails in your hands? I walked up a flower-strewn pathway at Cypress Garden some time ago, and I came to what was captioned as the thorn bush. And the caption at the base of that thorn bush said, "The crown of thorns," the same kind of thorns they used when they plaited the crown that Jesus wore. And I stood there, and chills ran over me as I looked at those sharp thorns as long as my finger and as sharp as a needle. And my blood almost ran cold to think that the Prince of Heaven, the majestic Christ, suffered that kind of pain the day that he died in order that you and I might be delivered from sin. And listen, mister. Listen, kind lady. If there had been nobody but you, he'd have done that, because that was his primary purpose, his peculiar prerogative, to put away sin. Somebody said the day that he died, the Prince of Heaven died on the brow of the city dump. And someone else said the imps of hell held a banquet in the soul of the Savior that day. I don't know about that, but I know this: the sun refused to shine. And I know the veil rent in twain in the temple. And I know that he made it possible that day that I would never have to stand without the camp with a lamb, a spotless sacrifice, and wait till the sin offering was made to atone for my sin, because that day he became my atoning sacrifice, my high priest. The painful pathway. Some years ago in a northern city, a young lady was putting the finishing touches on her wedding gown, preparatory to going to the church for her wedding. The wedding party was already arriving. Her father was waiting in the front room to accompany his daughter to the church to give her hand in marriage. And she came down the stairs in that beautiful, flowing wedding gown. And she said, "Dad, do I look presentable?" "Oh," he says, "you're so lovely, so beautiful." But he said, "Turn around, let me see the train of your dress." And as she turned around, the train of that beautiful wedding gown brushed too close to an open fire. And in an instant, she was in flames. Her father flung himself out of the chair and embraced his daughter and smothered those flames to the point that she was not severely burned. Her hair was singed to a degree, but his coat and shirt sleeves were burned off. And his hands and his arms were burned severely. The wedding was postponed. After a few weeks of hospitalization and recuperation, with his hands and his arms still bandaged, he walked down the aisle and gave his daughter's hand in marriage. 2 years passed, and she received a telegram one evening: "Sis, Dad just passed away. Get home as soon as you can." She said, "Her husband and I went home. They'd already prepared his body and brought it home." She said, "When I walked into the room and I walked up to the casket, I could not refrain from putting a kiss on his brow." And she said, "I looked at that silent form and I noticed that things didn't look right. When they prepared his body, they left his hands down by his side and covered them with the lining in the casket." She said, "I reached down and took hold of the lining and I pushed it back. And I saw the ugliest hands I ever saw in my life." And she said, "I never saw hands look like that, so ugly." She said, "I said to my husband, I know why they hid his hands. They're so ugly, they're so scarred." She said, "I reached down and I took hold of the right hand. It was cold and stiff, and I pulled it out as far as I could. And I did likewise with the right hand, and I pushed the lining back against the casket." She said, "I want to leave them out. I know they're ugly. I know they're scarred. And I know they're dark. But I want to leave them out because I'm not ashamed of them. Because he did it for me. I love to live. And I hope if Jesus tarries, he lets me live a long time. But ladies and gentlemen, I'd rather die this morning
on this platform at Brown City, Michigan, and how Brother Jones and some of his staff assist my wife in getting my body back to North Carolina, than to ever look at that cross and the one hanging there, or the one who hung there, and look at those nail-scarred hands and act like I was ashamed of them. I'd rather die this morning. And the reason I'm not ashamed of those hands, scarred, blood-stained, is because he did it for me. He did it for me. He hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And I don't mean to question your integrity, and I'm asking you to cast away your confidence, but I just want to ask you a very personal question. Have you loved him like you should? Have you been living close to him like you ought to?
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship, and if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fostoria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. I hope you'll tune in next week at this same time, and in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.